This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Founded in 2007, the LiveWell Collaborative is an academic and industry innovation center that focuses on products, services, and system solutions for living well across a lifespan, especially for those who are age 50 and up. LiveWell is marking its 10 years as an innovation incubator, and here to talk about the organization's history and where it's headed are LiveWell Executive Director Linda Dunseith, from Procter & Gamble, LiveWell Vice President Dr. Matthew Doyle, and from the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, LiveWell President Craig Vogel. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Linda, Craig, and Matthew, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah.
So start us off, Linda. Tell us a little bit more about the mission of the LiveWell Collaborative.
So our mission, we use design thinking methodologies, working with students across the university. That's why organizations come to the LiveWell to come to UC, because of the breadth, the capabilities of the different students that we can work with. So we specifically, we're living well across the lifespan with an expertise in the 50-plus marketplace.
And design thinking process. Craig, what does that mean?
Well, DAP is one of the strongest design programs in the United States. And across the college, we have design, architecture, art, and planning. Most of the students we work with come from the School of Design in industrial design, communication design, and fashion. And then we also work with interior design students and architecture students as well. And they bring their perspective to the issues and opportunities that companies like P&G present to us to work on. And we work with all the stakeholders that it takes to solve a problem. And several years ago, we had Children's approach us to say what you're doing with elders might be great to use on our work with Children's Hospital. So we started 4 years ago to work with them as well. And we evolved to where we are now of working, living well across the lifespan with the emphasis of 50 plus. And our fourth and fifth year undergraduate students have already been through three or four professional co-ops when they work with us. And so they're well seasoned as well as well educated in our program. They're well seasoned with the kind of cooperative experiences they have. And then we include graduate students from our Masters of Design and our graduate programs in architecture as well. And then we bring in students from across the university that we need in any particular project, engineering, business, and sometimes CCM as well, to round out and complement the core design group to approach the kind of diversity of issues that we get from companies and from Children's.
So design thinking encompasses a lot of different disciplines, it sounds like.
Right. Design thinking today is a very broad term, and it's used by a lot of people. In the core focus of DAP, we teach our students over 5 years how to think a certain way, and it's one type of design thinking that is particularly strong for us. And then there are kind of complementary kinds of design thinking. So business students may take a course in design thinking, and you'll find across companies different kinds of emphasis of design thinking, often around what we call user-centered research. We happen to have a great ability in our students to take an idea, look at it, and then translate it into a variety of different potential solutions and then refine down to the optimum solution. And that's one version of design thinking that we happen to be particularly strong in.
There are a couple of principles, Mark, that we like to think of from a corporate standpoint when you think about products, right? Design thinking is all about striving for equitable use so that folks who have diverse abilities all can interact with that product equally, right? Providing flexibility so that individual preferences around how they work can be accommodated. Simple and intuitive use is one of the key principles. So you transcend cultures and you transcend languages. The product is intuitive. You don't need to read a lot about understanding how to make its performance come to life in the right kind of way, right? Provided for tolerance and errors. So if it's used inappropriately, it's forgiving, right, as a product. And you want to use minimal physical effort. So especially with an aging consumer, think about products and the energy involved to interact with that product. And how do you minimize that and make it enjoyable? Fundamentally create a wow experience for that consumer. And one of the exciting things about design thinking is when you design with those targets in mind, you delight this consumer who is most challenged, but by doing so, at the same time, you delight all consumers at all age groups who interact with that product. So it's a win-win.
So, Craig, who is involved? Who are the besides Procter & Gamble, who are some of the other corporate players in the LiveWell Collaborative?
Yeah, Mark, we've been very fortunate to have a very diverse group of industrial partners and affiliates over the years. Currently, Boeing is a partner. Pfizer is a partner with us, as well as Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've had LG Electronics, City Financial Group, so banking, Mondelez and Kraft, so foods. So a very diverse and rich environment, right? So for P&G, the exciting dynamic here was we were creating and participating in an innovation ecosystem that had this richness associated with it, and trying to solve for these problems have common threads and common themes. It doesn't matter whether it's a food or a financial banking product or an electronics or consumer products, right? And so very dynamic, very exciting. The environment was fundamentally what we were trying to create as P&G began to commit and invest in open innovation, which is a concept that developed 10 to 15 years ago, where you think about discovery and creativity not coming just from the core R&D centers within the company, but accessing the resources that are available outside the company to co-create, co-invent, co-innovate.
Linda, sounds like LiveWell has covered a lot of ground in its 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess I am so proud. You know, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. We brought over 600 students through our process.
The 28th was the date of the anniversary?
Of the anniversary date, right. We've brought, like I said, 600 students through the process. We've worked with over 15 different corporations. We actually have a LiveWell in Singapore that was founded back in 2010 that is legally and financially separate but does the same kind of work, uses the same kind of research methodologies. You know, they've both talked about the multidisciplinary nature of our projects. That's our secret sauce. When you get together, you know, 10 to 12, 20-somethings in the room, and they have a faculty advisor. It's amazing what they know, the latest and greatest about everything, the way they think about things, the way they share things. It's really an incredible process.
Yeah, Craig, it sounds like a valuable experience with students as well. Yeah,
it is. And what we find is it's a transformative experience for them. And many times they haven't worked on projects for older consumers before. One of the things we found that was very exciting is we work with the Ali Group at UC, and they work with us as older consumers who come and talk with the students. And what we found out is that when we worked with older consumers and the students, that the older consumers actually adopted the students and told them things they wouldn't even tell a professional representative of a company because they felt so strongly about helping them. And the students were so comfortable after a few visits. And so we found that, again, the secret sauce is very often the things you didn't anticipate. And that was a wholly unexpected situation. And then the students themselves find a whole new way of looking at people across the lifespan and see the value of the insights that they gain and realize the importance of maintaining a kind of conversation with people of different ages. So those are some of the things that were totally unexpected and a wonderful part of the experience so far.
I refer to that as naive innovation, right? So when you take the students and their creativity and their innovation, pair that with faculty, and then bring in the corporate R&D resources, the scientists, the engineers, the corporate commercial functions in terms of consumer understanding, trying to get at the deep, unarticulated needs that a consumer might have. There's always a difference between when you ask a consumer, how do you use my product, whether it's a tube of toothpaste, they will tell you one thing. In actual practice, their habits are very different than what they tell you. Not to be deceptive, but they just don't realize what their actual behavior or habit when they're using that product is. Toothpaste is a great example. You're told to brush for 2 minutes, right? No one brushes for 2 minutes. It's 27 seconds.
My hands retired.
Oh, there you go, right?
Yeah.
So in 27 seconds, how do you design a product to deliver all of the chemistry, the fluoride protection, the antibacterial protection you need? And so that has to be our design target. So how do you unlock that? We use ethnography, anthropology, psychology, different techniques and tools to interact with consumers to understand these unarticulated behaviors. The students cut through that very, very quickly. They have a real natural tendency to relate with the consumers, certainly at the 50-plus demographic. And they get some aha moments that we wouldn't normally get if I were to ask them those same questions.
Linda, so what's been the most satisfying thing to you during this 10 years that the LiveWell Collaborative has been going?
You know, probably the most satisfying thing is to actually see some of these things come to fruition. We've got a great partnership with Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And just recently, a device was developed for activities of daily living, ADLs. And it was actually a provisional patent has been filed. And they're actually testing it up at their Liberty campus for effectiveness and capability. And they'll be actually broadening that test here locally at the base hospital. So to see students and faculty work on those kinds of things, get their names on patents, and actually see things studied and show success is probably the big thing.
Mm-hmm. What have been some of the other accomplishments in the 10 years?
Oh, gosh. With Boeing, we've been working with Boeing for 7 years, have a great relationship with them. We have 5 patents with Boeing, which is really exciting for us. Just the relationships out in the community. Craig mentioned Ollie. We actually have a super team of Ollie consumers. There are actually 10 that work with us on different focus group areas. We also run design thinking workshops with our partners also that students help facilitate. So the success of the LiveWell is really rooted in student and faculty involvement.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what about you? Because you've been with it since the very beginning.
Yeah, and so I can give you a few examples of how Procter & Gamble has benefited from this. You can think about the human hand and how it interacts with a package, right? So we've been able to do some modeling in the biomechanics of the human hand. So the tendons in each finger, the joints, the biomechanical forces in terms of how that works to form a simple grip. And then you can age that hand using computer modeling, give it arthritis. So you can age it, you can give it a progressive disease process, and then see the changes in the torque forces of that hand as it interacts with a package. So how do we use that at P&G as one example? Tide, right? We were going through a sustainability renewal, trying to develop new technologies for cleaning. And so the super concentrated Tide liquids created a new product platform chassis, a new formula for Tide, and that was in new packaging. And so that packaging had to be compatible with older consumers. So how do they interact with the package? We could take that human hand model and look at it interact with the package itself and do some force calculations and changes and then change the closure, change where the handle is positioned, change the center of gravity on the bottle. And then we would go and test it with LiveWell in the homes of consumers and watch them interact with the package in their laundry rooms. And, you know, you could see some people slide the bottle across the table up to their hip and then reverse grip it and try to undo the cap. And then that was an aha moment. My gosh, that, we don't want to put that much energy into it. How do you adjust things and redesign? So just as one example.
Yeah. And Craig, from your perspective.
Well, a lot of different things, but a few that come to mind. One is that when I was doing this at Carnegie Mellon, we did one project a year, and now we do somewhere in the neighborhood of 12. And I kind of, there's a phrase going from being a fisherman to teaching others how to fish. So my role now is helping bring other faculty into this and helping them, and occasionally I'll work on a project. But that shift from being able to bring a system of approach that I learned how to do as a one-off has probably been great for me personally. The other thing, we've helped faculty get tenure through their experience with us developing research themes. And I constantly stay in touch with students who have graduated and how they'll talk about how the process has helped them in their work and in many cases to get their first job. So we see that this is a platform for a way of thinking that is expanded on a number of levels, and also to work with Children's Hospital. In Pittsburgh, I wasn't able to work with UPMC. It just wasn't possible from Carnegie Mellon. And here, right on the doorstep, is Children's Hospital, one of the top in the country. And the combination is what Matt was talking about for older consumers, is this concept of patient-centered empathic healthcare, and design fits perfectly into that emerging area of healthcare, and not only for aging, but also for children. And no hospital system is more aggressive at being in the center of that argument than children. So we found wonderful support in the doctors and the staff and the nurses. And we usually work with 10 to 15 people on a project that help us to find the right solution for what is leukemia to, you know, how do you take the necessary hygiene care when you're in internal therapy for cancer as a child. So it's been amazing the array of projects we've touched with them. So those are some of the high points for me.
Yeah. Where does this go next, Linda?
Where does it go next? Well, we are going to be making a big move. So we're on Short Vine Street right now in about 3,800 square feet. We're going to be moving up the street to Reading Road to UC's 1809 Innovation Center, where we're actually going to have 5,200 square feet. So we're going to be right in the mecca of all of UC's innovation in the innovation corridor. So very excited about that. And we'll probably be in that new home in April. So. Mm-hmm.
It's actually 1819.
Or 1819.
I have to say that as a missing person. Otherwise, it's our founding year, our 200th anniversary. So it's 1819.
The 1819
Center. Yeah, that's the 1819 Center.
That's going to allow us to do more from driving UC's mission as well, right? Experiential learning is now a prominent feature of the educational curriculum requirements at UC. And giving students an opportunity to experience real-world problems is part of the richness that we offer the students in return for their time on working on projects. And so this center, this innovation center that UC is committed to investing in, is going to just allow us to expand in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Craig, any thoughts?
Well, you know, I was saying at the anniversary how many people have contributed to making this a success. So if the three of us are kind of here as the symbolic representation of a village of people from P&G and other companies, from the university, from Children's Hospital, that we're so fortunate to be a part of this energy that we end up being able to work on every day. And it just takes so many people to keep an opportunity like this thriving, and we're very grateful to all of them that are behind us every day, and to be able to see people from Singapore who are as excited about this as we are. So it's just a great kind of example of how people can get together and form a network effectively to drive a good idea.
Yeah. And Linda, is it that multidisciplinary aspect that makes this different from other partnerships between universities and businesses?
Oh, absolutely. And plus, it's our user-centered focus. So when we do our projects, we always start with the beginning user, you know, identifying their needs, which is different than other models. And then coupling that with the corporate capabilities, having P&G local that can come in and work with students on different things, having Children's here has been really helpful in our development, too. Mm-hmm.
And so 10 years from now, you'll be having your 20th anniversary.
We'll be having our 20th anniversary. We'll see where we go.
Yeah. As far as the 10 years, how smooth has it gone for you?
You know, it's always learning. We've had a model that's been able to adapt to the different fluctuations in the economy, different needs. You know, being able to expand to living well across the lifespan has definitely opened up the work that we can do. So our model, you know, is very flexible, which has been very successful, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. I think the business model has been one of our strengths. It will continue to be one of our strengths. And we're committed to sharing in the growth and opportunity, both at the university level and from an industrial partner's standpoint. So it's a win-win situation, both economically as well as experientially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our latest model of what we're experimenting with is something that P&G refers to as a loft, just talking about our evolution from working on a project to working on a framework that companies can come in and learn about health and wellness. So how many different partners do we have?
Actually have 7 different partners with that. So P&G is the lead, but Cincinnati Children's is working on that. United Healthcare, Kroger 84, F51, Bethesda TriHealth, and GE Aviation out in Evendale.
So it sounds like the exciting thing is this is ever-growing, ever-expanding.
And a total new model for us, and it's up all this year, and we're bringing companies in individually and in groups. And it's just an exciting move off of the core kind of template that we started.
Linda, Matthew, and Craig, thank you for joining us today.
Very welcome.
Our
great
pleasure.
To be here.
Yes, thank you.
LiveWell Executive Director Linda Dunseith, from Procter & Gamble, LiveWell Vice President Dr. Matthew Doyle, and from the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, LiveWell President Craig Vogel. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier, with help from Jim Nolan. Rick Andrus was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Here and Now is next on 91.7 WVXU.